Upfront, inside Atlanta's entertainment industry, is brought to you by Atlanta's Jazz Station, 91.9 FM, WCLK.
Coming up on this week's show, Upfront talks to actor and singer Chase Stephen regarding his role as Marvin Gaye in the new musical Pride and Joy. I also talked to character actor Reno Wilson about his portrayal of Louis Armstrong in the new jazz film Bolden. Closing out the show is my conversation with playwright Joel King and his associate director Tosha Story regarding his new production, Real Life, the original hip opera, at Marietta's New Theater in the Square. But first, here's Reva Blue with this week's casting buzz and entertainment news.
All right, Mr. DeMille, I'm ready for my close-up.
Biracial girl twins are needed for an upcoming project. The babies need to be between 4 to 9 months old and must be available April 26th through May 11th. Interested parents should send the babies' names and 3 photos along with a phone number to wrooms2019@gmail.com with twins in the subject line of the email. In other related entertainment news, in theaters this weekend, Amazing Grace featuring the late music icon Aretha Franklin. The highly anticipated documentary takes audiences back in time to the live recording of her most successful album to date. From the rehearsals to the actual taping, audiences get up close and personal with the Queen of Soul as she belts out the album's classic tunes. Go to WCLK.com and watch Upfront's red carpet coverage of the recent Atlanta screening featuring interviews with gospel music greats Byron Cage and Bishop William Murphy, along with the film's producer, Terrell Whitley. And finally, don't forget to watch the 34th Stellar Gospel Music Awards tomorrow night at 7 p.m. on BET. This year's show will feature foot-tapping and hand-clapping performances by Hezekiah Walker, Corinne Hawthorne, Todd Delaney, Charles Jenkins, and Jacqueline Carr, and is hosted by Kirk Franklin. Go to WCLK.com for a sneak peek. That's this week's Casting Buzz and Entertainment News. I'm Reva Blue.
Wake up. This is Spike Lee listening to my man, Ray Cornelius, Upfront, 91.9. WCLK.
That was classic music from Motown legend Marvin Gaye. His life and love is the subject of a new musical that is coming to the Fabulous Fox in June, titled Pride and Joy. It features my first guest, Chase Stephen, one of 2 actors portraying the iconic figure. He stopped by this week to chat about the show and stepping into the role of a lifetime.
Chase Stephen, welcome to Upfront. How are you?
What's happening, Ray?
Dude, you got the whole get up, you got the hat, you got the shirt. I'm ready for the show.
Yeah, man. Pride and Joy.
Pride and Joy.
Marvin Gaye musical.
Yeah. It's going to be coming to the Fabulous Fox in June.
Yes.
And perfect timing. That's the kickoff, really, of Black Music Month.
Of course.
I would say that first weekend.
Yeah.
And you're going to be starring as the iconic Marvin Gaye.
Yes, the older Marvin Gaye.
Yeah, because it's actually 2 actors for this show.
Myself and also a phenomenal actor by the name of Jaron Muse. Yes.
So tell our listeners a little bit about the show, because this is a little different. There was a show, I was telling your friend a little earlier, there was a Marvin Gaye show that came to Atlanta maybe about 10, 12 years ago.
Yeah, yeah. I know exactly what you're talking about.
Yeah, and so when this came across my desk, I was like, oh, boy. Here we go again. But when I looked at the YouTube video, the quality was totally different from that show. So tell our listeners a little bit about Pride and Joy.
Well, Pride and Joy, it's the Marvin Gaye musical, but it's also being billed as the Motown's untold love story of Anna Gordy Gaye and Marvin Gaye.
Okay.
And that's exactly what it is. It's a love story. It talks about the relationship between Anna Gordy and Marvin Gaye, and how their life and their love affair, their marriage, changed the course of Motown music, because Anna Gordy had a lot to do with convincing her brother, Berry Gordy, to you know, to bring Marvin aboard onto Motown. And okay. As a result of it, you know, Marvin became Motown's biggest selling yeah. artist of all time. You know what I'm saying? As far as solo artists are concerned. And so that's what Pride and Joy, you know, it talks about. You know, it's a wonderfully written play, written by Angela Beryl Dunlap, D'Extra Wiley, and Marvin Gaye III himself.
Okay.
We have the rights to 28 songs from the Motown catalog, signed off by Sony and Berry Gordy himself. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, you had mentioned the other play, you know what I'm saying? That particular play back then actually did not have the music. And so this particular one, Pride and Joy, this particular one, Pride and Joy, has the music. It has all of the bells and whistles that comes along with it, man. It's a phenomenal production, man.
So let's tell our listeners, because in doing research about how you got this role, there was Marvin has always been there,
yes.
for lack of better words,
yes.
in your life,
yes.
Through the music. So mm-hmm. let's tell our audience how Marvin's influence sort of shaped your career, and then eventually how you got this role.
Well, I think that my story kind of coincides with most people's story growing up on Saturday mornings. You know what I'm saying? Their parents playing, you know, Marvin and Al and Stevie. But yeah, that's what kind of happened with me. You know, my mother raised me here in Atlanta. I'm from Atlanta. You know okay. what I'm saying? I was born in New Jersey, but my mother moved here when I was three.
Okay.
And yeah, on Saturday mornings, man, she would play Marvin. And you know what I'm saying? It just kind of got into my spirit, got into my soul. I've always been considered an old soul. So when I was a kid, you know, of course, you know, it was the whole Michael Jackson thing, you know what I'm saying, before my voice changed.
Yeah.
But,
me too. I wanted to be Michael.
Yeah, of course you didn't, right?
But when I realized I would never be able to dance or sing like that, I was like, well, let me try Quincy Jones.
Yeah. Well, there you go. Right. But yeah, man, you know, I've been singing since I was 5 years old, and, I would go around singing old Michael Jackson songs, but I was touched by this Marvin Gaye bug probably around the age of, well, you know, he passed in 84, you
right.
know what I'm saying, God rest his soul, and that's when I kind of recognized that this was a person that affected people, and he affected my mother, he affected my father, my uncles, my cousins, you know what I'm saying, and so then I started to listen to him, and of course, being that young, I didn't really understand the depths of what he was saying through his music, but as I got older, you know what I'm saying, I started to listen to it, and you know, I started to sing his songs more, and they touched me, you know, to a point to whereas, it kind of moved me into a place of just wanting to reiterate those songs, you know, and you know, just and you know, and actually write some songs similar to it, but you know, no one can write like Marvin, so
yeah. And how did you get this role? Because there was another connection as well,
right? See, yeah. Okay, so what happened was I was working on my own show, and about 3 years ago, I came up with this idea that I wanted to put on a Marvin Gaye musical review. And so as a result of it, I was actually singing on cruise ships at that time. And so I had the opportunity to go back and do another contract. But I told my band leader, I said, nah, I want to focus on this Marvin Gaye thing, because, you know, whenever I would do songs with the corporate bands that I sang with, the response was, you know, pretty cool.
Mm-hmm.
And so I said that I wanted to do this Marvin Gaye thing, and so I talked to a friend of mine, and we, you know, got some wardrobe, and I started taking some pictures, and I did a photo shoot, and it just so happened that D'Extra Wiley, who just so happens, I mentioned his name earlier, he's one of the writers, but he's also Marvin Gaye III's business partner. He saw some pictures of me, and he reached out to me, and he said, hey, you know, we're working on this musical, and I think that you would be perfect for, you know, to play the role of Marvin Gaye. And of course, at first, I didn't believe him. I thought, oh, here we go, you know what I'm saying? Because when you're doing things like that, you'll be surprised at how many people would call and have ideas and things like that. And so he, you know, after a couple of phone calls, he proved himself to be truthful, and he set me up with an audition up in Detroit with New Day Entertainment, Kia Perry Far, and Quentin Perry. They are the executive producers of Pride and Joy, and he set me up with an audition, and I went up there, and you know, and I did my thing, sang some songs, and you know, read some lines, and I got the gig.
Wow.
Yeah.
What's your favorite song to perform?
My favorite song to perform. Well, the thing is that, you know, okay, so we've done two preview shows, right?
Okay.
In Grand Rapids, Michigan, and also in Saginaw, Michigan. And, you know, it was really cool. We got standing ovations. And of course, you know, doing Let's Get It On, you know what I'm saying? The women, they love it. The crowd loves it. But, you know, man, it was something about when I did What's Going On, you know, and it was so moving, you know, because there's interpretive dancing that's going on around me. And, you know, we have someone behind me, a young lady, she's tap dancing, and it's just so heartfelt. And when I tell you, man, when I was up there doing this, I had to hold back the tears, man. You know what I'm saying? Because it was so surreal, you know, that this was actually happening and people was watching this and they were singing along and they were feeling it. And so I'd have to say right now, just based on that emotion that I grabbed from it, it would have to be What's Going On. Hmm. Yeah.
What have you personally learned throughout this entire process as an artist?
Personally, what I have learned is that God has a way of granting your heart's desires if you stay true to who you are and what it is that you want to express through your passion. You know, because I've gone through some things, you know what I'm saying? I'm not a spring chicken, you know what I'm saying? I've had my issues in life, you know, and as a result of it, you know, God has put things in my path for, you know, for tests and temptations. And, you know, and if you stay true to who you are and what you do, and you don't, you know, if you don't go astray, he has a way of rewarding that, you know. And I feel as though this is what's happening, you know, with me right now, because this is a dream come true, bruh. Like, for real, this is a dream come true. You know, I'm actually in a position to depict and reiterate, you know, the songs and the emotion of Marvin Gaye. And for whatever reason, you know, his spirit chose me, you know, for whatever reason. I don't know why. And, you know, it's my God given duty and purpose to make sure that I follow through with it, you know, properly.
Chase Stephen, thank you so much for being a guest today on Upfront.
Thank you, Ray.
We're talking
I appreciate
about Pride and Joy, which will be playing at the Fox Theater June 6th through the 9th. And again, that's going to be at the beginning of Black Music Month, a great way to start that off.
That's right.
You can get more information about the show at WCLK.com. Thank you so much.
Thank you, man.
I see trees of green, red roses too. I see them bloom for me and you, and I think to myself, what a wonderful world.
Hi, this is Kathleen Bertrand, and you're listening to Upfront with Ray Cornelius.
That was the legendary jazz tune, What a Wonderful World, performed by the great Louis Armstrong. He'll be portrayed in the upcoming jazz film, Bolden, chronicling the life and times of jazz music pioneer, Buddy Bolden. The role will be played by character actor Reno Wilson, who was in New York City this week promoting the film. Here's what he had to say about playing such an iconic figure and teaming up with jazz icon, Wynton Marsalis. Reno Wilson, welcome to Upfront. How are you?
Good to be here,
right?
Thank you.
So listen, you guys are very, very busy. You are currently in New York City right now promoting your upcoming film, Bolden, in which you play the role of the iconic Louis Armstrong. Reno, how did this role come to you? Because you're not only just an amazing actor, but you're also a voice actor as well. So how did you get this role?
Well, it's one of those stories that never happens in Hollywood. When you are fully prepared for a role and it comes to you. I was working on my own live show about Louis Armstrong when my agent sent me a script that said Bolden on it. I opened up the script for Bolden, and the first character on the page was Louis Armstrong. And literally, Ray, I'm sitting there holding a handkerchief and a trumpet.
Wow.
And yeah, I mean, that never happens. The funny thing is they did not have me auditioning for Louis. They had me auditioning for Creole. And if you have ever seen me, I do not look like a Creole.
Yeah.
So I went to the audition in my suit, had my suit on, had my trumpet and my handkerchief, and I signed on the sign-in sheet, popped. And the casting director came down, looked at me, didn't say a word, left, came back down and said, can I come a week later? I came the next week, had my suit, had my horn, had my handkerchief, met Dan Pritzker. He looked like he saw a ghost. And we had a love fest in the room. I sang, I played some trumpet, and he asked if I wanted to do the movie. and he changed the role from just a voiceover into a integral part of the script.
Yeah, and you're actually playing the trumpet in the film, correct? That's you?
No, no. What you're hearing in the film is Wynton Marsalis. I could never play that good. I could never play that well. I did learn how to play. I could only play. I could play really well for about 3.5 minutes.
Okay. Wow. Wow.
But when Wynton Marsalis tells you that your fingering is perfect, you'll take that.
Yeah. And were you familiar with this story before getting the role?
No, I never knew anything about Buddy Bolden. And then when you try to research him, there's not much information out there.
Right.
But the crazy thing is, this is a guy who's unrecorded. There's like one little raggedy picture of him that exists, yet we are talking about him right now.
Yeah.
That tells you how much, you know, the influence that he had on the people, that just the stories, it's like the most amazing game of telephone ever. You know, it's like he's a mythical figure.
Yeah. And so you were already in the midst of doing your own Louis Armstrong story. And so what is it about him and his story that just really drew you to him?
Well, for me, you know, I knew pretty much what most lay people would know. They would know Hello, Dolly. They would know What a Wonderful World. But once I started researching him, and then I got back into the 20s, and I realized, holy crap, this dude was bigger than Jay-Z in 1926. You know, I'm a hip-hop kid, so I always go back to hip-hop parlance, and I say Louis Armstrong in 1926 was like Kool Herc, Afrika Bambaataa, and Jay-Z in like one person. That's the influence that he has had on music then, and to us today, and we don't even know it. You know, Buddy Bolden was the spark, and Louis Armstrong was where it went.
Wow. You guys are in New York City right now. You guys are also preparing for a major event on the 17th. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah. Tomorrow I'm going to be performing with Wynton Marsalis on stage at Jazz at Lincoln Center, which is crazy talk. And Harry Connick Jr. going to be there. Diane Reeves, Noah Hawthorne. I mean, I'm gonna be super giddy.
Yeah. And what do you guys hope that this film will do for audiences? Because we don't get to see that many films centered around jazz characters. And so when I saw the trailer for this, and then I also interviewed Robert Richard last year when he was promoting another film, but then I saw this one and I was like, yo, you know, we don't really see or hear about that many jazz films. So what do you hope that this will do?
Usually a classic jazz film about some dude who's strung out his violin or something like that. And, you know, this one is different in that way. This is a guy who, like any musical genius, was a little eccentric, a little, you know, maybe today we would call him bipolar, but, you know, Beethoven wasn't all there. Mozart was out there. Van Gogh, you know, Thelonious Monk. This is a guy who kind of heard things, differently than others, and had the courage to play those things that he was hearing. And in the late 1800s, it wasn't cool to be weird if you were black. You know what I mean? So he ended up in this insane asylum and stayed there for the rest of his life. So I think it's great that in 2019 there's a plethora of stories popping out now of different figures, and it's more diverse, and they look like a lot of the world, and we're learning about these people that people otherwise wouldn't have known existed. I'm sure there are a lot of engineers and educational people and all kinds of characters like Buddy Bolden that we don't know about. So.
Yeah. Well, Reno Wilson.
Also, people will go listen to some of that young Louis Armstrong.
Well, Reno Wilson, thank you so much for being a guest today on Upfront, and best of luck. The film comes out on May 3rd. We're talking about Bolden. To get more information, you can check it out at WCLK.com. Reno Wilson, thank you so much.
Ray, thank you, brother.
All right.
What's up, everybody? This is Jonathan Nelson, and you're listening to Upfront with Ray Cornelius.
My last guests include playwright Joel King and his associate director Tosha Story. The two are in town promoting his new production titled Real Life, an original hip opera. The show opens this weekend at Marietta's New Theater in the Square and is an eclectic mix of music and dance, all while exploring the attitudes of urban living. I caught up with the two content creators who talked about the timeliness of the show's message.
Joel King and Tosha Story, welcome to Upfront. How are you?
Wonderful.
Great. Thank you.
Yeah. Excited to have you guys here.
Yes.
Heard about this amazing show that you guys are bringing over to the Marietta's New Theater in the Square. We've been working with those guys for quite some time now, and they always bring amazing productions to the city of Atlanta. And you guys are just one of those shows that they're going to be bringing. We're talking about Real Life, the hip opera.
Yes.
Let's talk about this because we're really, you know, hip hop, opera. I don't think we've seen too many of those.
Right.
Yeah.
You know what? That's one of the things I'm learning about Atlanta. I thought that this was something that was already like happening.
No.
You know, and I'm like, why does this seem like something?
Every now and again.
Yeah. But, you know, especially something that speaks, that tells our story, you know, I think is very important. And again, I'm thinking like this is something that's already happening, but they're like, no, this is actually pretty major. I'm like, okay, let's go with it. Let's do it. Yeah.
So what was the inspiration behind this?
Well, I come from a home of 11. And so I...
11 kids?
No, 11 siblings.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
okay, okay.
You know, all in one home at one time.
Wow.
And grew up in, you know, in the city, in the urban areas, and have been confronted with a lot of different adversities, and then and learning what that meant to myself, you know. But then the big thing that really like brought it all home as to like, this is what I'm supposed to do next, when I was a substitute teacher. And two different experiences. There was a young man to whom I was like a camp counselor, and there were actually a group of them that were having conversations. So I asked this one guy, just posed a question like, hey, what keeps you all, like, because they were talking about this urban jargon, you know what I mean? So I'm like, so what's up? So I said, what keeps you all connected to this idea of the ghetto? And this 11-year-old young man says to me, he said, well, because if I leave the ghetto, then I'll be selling out to my community. And I'm like, wow, that's really profound for someone so young. And yeah. And then the second experience, I was teaching eighth grade. And a young lady, just all of a sudden, hey, I want to kill my father. I'm like, what? So, and I want to kill my father because he raped me. And the thing that stunned me the most was that there was no pulse in the room. No one cared. And I'm like, so this is where we are right now? To where this type of information does not affect anyone? So it charged me to put pen to paper and developed Real Life, I guess, in 2004. That's when it started. And then after a stage reading and seeing where it could go, my mind wanted to travel more. So by 2010, we were able to put it up in full production at St. Louis at the Grandel Theater. And I looked at it, I saw it, and I saw it again in 2012, and I saw it again in 2013 and 2014. See? So anyway, we're here in Atlanta now with the hopes of this being like the final revision.
And you're not only
I really am.
The writer, you're the director, and you're also starring in the show, correct?
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's triple duty. How do you handle all that?
You know what? It really takes a team. It really does. And you're learning how to make that team more accountable. You know what I mean? Because every experience, every situation, it calls for something different. But this piece requires a lot. It requires a lot of your soul, I can honestly say.
Yeah.
And especially, I've always said it because someone brought up the idea of me performing in it long time ago, like, you know, when there was a promoter who was trying to put it on the road. And I'm like, well, you know what? If I ever do it, I have to do it. I have to be coached. I got to have somebody there that I trust to keep it going. And so my sister, you know, we, what was it, 2008? I don't know. Whenever we became.
So in comes Tosha's story.
Tosha's story. Yeah.
Which is, and let me let our audience know, you are typically in front of the camera. We've seen you on Empire. We've seen you on If Loving You Is Wrong. And as we were talking offline, we saw you in Acrimony.
Absolutely.
But now you're kind of stepping behind the scenes, and you're stepping into the shoes of associate director.
Yeah, well, you know, I've actually been doing that all along.
Okay.
I mean,
okay.
I've been in this business a long time, but you know, once you hit film and TV, they're like, oh, the new star, you know. But I've been doing this a long time, and my affinity for directing has been years. I've worked with some of the best, Akeem Babatunde, Oba Babatunde, and now one of the best too, which is
Mr. Joel King.
But so I've been directing for, and then the boards. I started acting on stage. So stage is really my foundation, and I have to at least get on the boards or do a play at least once a year just to keep my sanity. Mm-hmm. So that's acting in TV and film is part of what I do, but this is also a part of what I do, and I'm passionate equally about it, all of them. And then Joel, though, who is just extremely talented. He's a Joel King, but another Tyler Perry kind of Joel King, where he writes, directs, acts, and profound in all of it. And so I'm just happy to be a part of his vision in this particular play. I've actually done plays on, you know, being the actress in his plays, and I've also helped co-direct in the plays. And so we have a great dance, he and I.
Yeah.
But this particular play, Real Life, it's amazing because it's like art imitating life. And even though he wrote it, 2004, you know, but here we are, you know, under the whole debacle, I think, of the Nipsey Hussle and the whole gang violence.
A lot of the issues are still
the
same.
And it's so relevant. Yeah. It's so relevant today that even in your inner city, when you're trying to give back and feedback, sometimes, you know, things go amok. And so it's apropos to the times now, even though it was written back then. So I think it's a very important message for us to continue to talk about in terms of gang violence, inner city violence, and all of that, and then how we get back to love. And so this play is so much about that I'm just excited to be a part of it and to help kind of bring his vision into fruition.
This being a hopra or opera, so is there going to be singing the entire time, or is it kind of, you have, because with most operas it's you have very little dialogue, I mean very little, and most of it is singing.
So here's the thing, like my introduction to the hip hopra genre was actually Carmen with Beyonce.
Oh yeah, yeah, I remember that.
Like people, I know they talk about Hamilton and In the Heights and all that,
that was
my,
that was really big
to, so for me, the way that they structured it, which is to give you one of the reasons why I was making the choice I made earlier today, was that it was either, if even with the dialogue, that was, it was underscored by a hip hop rhythm of some sort.
Okay.
You know, that was keeping the pulse of the show. Yeah.
Got it.
So that, and a lot of times it's necessary, because one thing I've learned and I love about hip hop, that it awakens something. Even if you don't like what they're saying, that beat is still keep your attention.
Yeah.
And so that's, so hip hop, that's what you're going to get your dialogue, you're going to get your singing, you're going to get your dancing, you're going to get your hip hop, you're going to get, you know what I mean? So you get all that.
Yeah. Well, guys, thank you so much for being guests today on Upfront. We're talking about Real Life, the original hip opera that is playing now through May 5th at Marietta's New Theater in the Square. Tosha and Joel, thank you so much for being guests today.
Hey, thanks for having us. Come out. We can't wait to see you.
Yes, come to the show.
Well, that'll do it for this week's show. I'd like to thank all of my special guests, Reno Wilson, Chase Steven, Joel King, and Tosha Story. I'd also like to thank Reva Blue for voicing this week's casting buzz, and my engineer, Jami Wellman. Upfront is produced by WCLK 91.9. Please join us next Saturday, April 27th, for another exciting edition of Upfront, inside Atlanta's entertainment industry. Happy Saturday, Atlanta.
If you like today's show, please hit us up at WCLK.com. We'd love to hear from you.
Upfront, inside Atlanta. Atlanta's entertainment industry has been brought to you by Atlanta's Jazz Station, 91.9 FM, WCLK, an NPR member-supported station.
dream.